Are you ready to learn more about science and ancient life? Welcome to Dinosaur Detectives with Anna Dubois. Anna is known as Little Miss Dinosaur, and in just a few minutes, you'll learn why. Get ready to explore paleontology and specifically the world of dinosaurs. Now, here's Anna.
It's time to uncover and discover. Let's crack open the fossil files and see which dinosaur we're going to learn about today. Wow, I'm so excited. We're going to learn about the most famous dinosaur of them all, the mighty Tyrannosaurus Rex. Welcome, I'm Anna Dubois, Little Miss Dinosaur, and you're listening to Dinosaur Detectives. Let's open up the Mesozoic map and see where we're going today. The Late Cretaceous Period. T-Rex lived about 68 to 65 million years ago and was one of the very last dinosaurs. The Cretaceous period was the longest period in the Mesozoic era, spanning 80 million years. Wow! Though T-Rex lived a very long time ago, the first named T-Rex was discovered only 112 years ago in 1902. By the first celebrity paleontologist, Barnum Brown, who we talked about in the past show. This discovery was in the Hell Creek Formation on Montana. This was the beginning of T-Rex's road to fame in popular culture. Did you know, Dino? Some paleontologists believe T-Rex was a scavenger, not a predator. Can you believe it? Was T-Rex an active hunter chasing his victims? Was he a scavenger that had any dead or dying dinosaur found? Or did he chase other dinosaurs from their kills and steal the meal for himself? In order to have been a true hunter, T-Rex would have been needed to be able to run fast. Scientists have tried to figure out its running speed by using computers and comparing it to other animals. Some estimates are as fast as 31 miles per hour, as others as slow as 9 miles per hour, but most seem to think it ranged between 12 and 19 miles per hour, instead, which is slightly slower than a human jogging. My favorite paleontologist of them all, Jack Horner, has toyed with the idea that T-Rex could be very possible be a scavenger for a long time. In a talk he gave a first Dino Fest event in Indiana in 1994 called Steak Knives, Beady Eyes, and Tiny Little Arms, a portrait of T-Rex as a scavenger. Jack pointed out the contrasts between active predators and scavengers. In the estimation, our favorite carnivore dinosaur was anything but an active predator. Velociraptor, co-star of T-Rex in the first Jurassic Park film that Horner advised, had long arms that the quickness required an active hunter, whereas T-Rex seemed to be a plodding giant with a rainforest-huge skull, best suited to crushing and taking apart dead Triceratops and Edmontosaurus. Picture Tyrannosaurus Rex, Horner told the audience. He has no arms, can't run fast, appears to have large earlobe, and he's big. If you think about it, one of the best things to be if you are a scavenger is big, so you can chase away anything else around the carcass. Jack Horner continued these thoughts in his book, The Complete T-Rex, and while Horner was not the first to think this way, soon he became the spokesman for this controversial subject, even though he has said before that he isn't totally convinced that T-Rex was only a scavenger. Evidence says that T-Rex could see 4 miles away. It was also had a very good sense of smell, which would be helpful to sniff out dead, rotting bodies. Yuck! Also, T-Rex had very powerful teeth. These teeth were not used to grind up food like we do. Instead, its teeth were used to crush the bones right away and get it to the nutritious, jelly-like bone marrow from inside. T-Rex would also tear and rip the flesh off its victim and then swallow the trunks whole. I hope you aren't eating your lunch right now. Sorry about that. Now, on the contrary, several T-Rex fossils have been found with injuries to its body, such as jaws, neck ribs, and legs. This suggests that T-Rex must have been involved in fights while trying to kill its hunted prey. So does all of this mean T-Rex was both scavenger and predator? The jury is still out with the scientists on both sides of the argument. What do you think? Okay, dinosaur detectives, let's examine this dinosaur's creature features. The fossil bones of T-Rex show it to be a large, heavily built dinosaur, weighing as much as 200 children, and was 18 feet tall and 40 feet long. T-Rex's head was the size of a human, about 5 to 6 feet. Some well-preserved skull fossils show the size and shape of T-Rex's brain. The area where T-Rex was called the brain case. It was here where nerves connected the brain to the eyes, nose, ears, and other body parts. While the brain case in a T-Rex skull was small compared to the size of its whole skull, T-Rex's brain was still the biggest brain of almost any dinosaur, making it very smart. T-Rex had a big nose openings at the front of its snout, which opened into a large chamber inside of its skull. This gave T-Rex a great sense of smell. T-Rex's eyeballs were up to 3 inches across, and its eyeballs were facing forward, which meant it could see clearly in front of itself and judge its distance well, but lacked the ability to see the side of itself. T-Rex had 50 to 60 teeth that continued to grow and shed throughout its life or when a tooth got broken. These teeth are up to 12 inches tall, but the average size was about the size of bananas. Did you know, Dino? Teeth are very hard and make great fossils, and one of the most common found fossils. T-Rex had jaw joints in the back of its skull, and that allowed it to open its jaws really wide to take huge bites out of its meal. Because of its powerful bite and jaw, it is thought that T-Rex's bite was stronger than today's living animals, like alligators and sharks. Scientists' experiments and calculations compared the bites in bite force units. T-Rex is thought to have been 3,100 units, an alligator 2,200 units, a lion 950 units, a great white shark 650 units, and a human at 120 units. This is one strong bite T-Rex had. He could even eat small dinosaurs whole. Yikes! For sure, the greatest feature of the mighty Tyrannosaurus Rex was its tiny arms. In fact, these tiny arms were about the size of an adult human, even though T-Rex was more than 50 times bigger than a person. The arms were small, but they were not weak. They had powerful muscles and 2 strong claw-like fingers. Did you know, Dano? The amount of dinosaur fingers changed throughout the periods. Triassic dinosaurs had 5 to 4 fingers, and Jurassic dinosaurs had 4 and 3 fingers, and the dinosaurs of the Cretaceous, like T-Rex, had 2 or 3 fingers. So keep that in mind when you find a fossilized arm. Look to see how many fingers there are, and that will be a good clue as to when that dino lived. Come on back, dinosaur detectives, so we can learn more cool stuff about the mighty T-Rex. I'm your host, Little Miss Dinosaur Annie Dubois, and you're listening to Dinosaur Detectives on Voice America Kids.
found with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
Tune in every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, on Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You're exploring the world with dinosaur detectives and your host, Anna. Keep it here to learn some more great facts. Let's get back to the show.
Hi, welcome back to Dinosaur Detectives. I'm your host, Little Miss Dinosaur Anna Dubois. When we left for the break, we were talking about the mighty T-Rex. So what's in a name? The name Tyrannosaurus means Tyrant Lizard King. Famous fossils. Some dinosaurs are named after the people who found them. In 1990, paleontologist Sue Hendrickson was looking for fossils in South Dakota with a team of paleontologists when their car got a flat tire. Sue wandered off and found what was to be the largest T-Rex fossil ever discovered. This large T-Rex was later named Sue. Sue was an amazingly complete. The dinosaur must have been covered in mud soon after it died, preventing scavengers to open it up and allow the bones to move apart. Sue dates back to 67 to 65.5 million years ago and measures 42 feet from nose to tail tip, and stands 13 feet tall. The weight of Sue alive was probably between 12 and 14 tons. After Sue was found, there was a huge dispute over who owned the fossils. The landowner, the dig team, the excavators, and local authorities all claimed the dinosaur as their own. After a large legal battle, Sue was sold at an auction in 1997 for $8.69 million and now lives in the Field Museum of Chicago. A new movie called Dinosaur 13 tells the story of Sue. It's a girl. Paleontologist Mary Schweitzer made a big discovery when examining T-Rex femur bones that were broken in half. What she found were blood vessels with blood cells inside, and the most incredible thing about this was that these blood cells were still flexible and stretchy and had stayed preserved for 68 million years. Wow! But that wasn't the only thing found inside the bone. A very special kind of bone called the medullary bone was found inside the marrow and was only known to exist in female bird legs. This could only mean one thing. This T-Rex was a female. That is so cool! Did you know, Dino? Medullary bones are where an animal stores calcium to make eggs. Since only a female make eggs, Mary knew that this T-Rex was a female and that she died just before she laid eggs. This dinosaur is the only second dinosaur ever found that scientists knew was a female. The other was an oviraptor found in China that still had eggs in its fossilized body. Dino might, dino fight. ladies and gentlemen. In this corner, we have the mighty tyrant Lizard King, the gigantic beast, the T-Rex. And in this corner, we have the slow but strong armored tank, with his shield of glory and spikes of war, the hefty Triceratops. Ding, ding, ding. Let's get ready to rumble. Our fearsome killing machine enters the ring with a loud roar and forceful lunge. He swoops his head down, ramming in anger towards the massive tank. Triceratops doesn't bat an eye. Instead, he steps back on one foot, ready to charge, head down and looking at the matador without any fear. T-Rex moves in to take a bite, but just as he does, the Triceratops takes his body forward, forcefully twisting his torn to the side and then up under the chin of T-Rex. Rex falls to the right and lets out a loud after being grazed by the sharp sword horn of his competitor. He is, however, still standing. Triceratops, preparing to charge again, has now turned his body to face T-Rex's side. T-Rex sprints forward as if to come around the tank and surprise him. Triceratops swings his tail, buying more time, but T-Rex grabs it between his teeth. Triceratops, strong and stable, with elephant-like stance, swings his tail free and escapes the tall beast, but just for a moment. T-Rex, knocked back on his side and struggling to get up off the ground, lowers his huge head to leverage himself back up. Triceratops prepares to go in for the kill. T-Rex, successful in pushing himself back up on his feet, leaps in for Triceratops' neck. But oh my friend, that was a mistake, a big mistake. Triceratops turns his head quickly. His frill knocks T-Rex's head over. The tank takes his weapons and pierces the mighty king in the head. What a blow! T-Rex falls to the ground, gored by the Triceratops, whose tail is also bleeding terribly by now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10! T-Rex, too weak to push himself up in time, lays out a low bellow of pain. Triceratops lumbers off into the trees, victorious this time. But for how long? T-Rex is finally on his feet from the knockout, looking round, his nose in the air and blood running down his neck, staggers off in defeat, mumbling something about duckville stew for dinner. Instead, crosses the river bed, not looking back. Or at least that's how I imagine it. It is a known fact that T-Rex teeth marks have been found in both Triceratops and Hadrosaurus, indicating that sometimes he may have engaged in fights for food. T-Rex's strengths were his great sense of smell and vision, but able to smell and see others from far away and sneak up on them. His bone-crushing bite, of course, could rip the flesh off of many unarmored dinosaurs, causing a natural victory. But not in the case of Triceratops, whose armored body protected him and allowed for defense fighting against T-Rex. Though Triceratops appeared to be the winner, it is T-Rex that probably had the last laugh. One great weapon T-Rex had is bad breath, rotting chunks of meat stuck in his teeth that could have been transmitted fatal infections into the unlucky Triceratops, who will be unable to survive the fatal bite. Maybe T-Rex will get a meal out of him after all. Dinosaurs roaming the earth. T-Rex was one kind of dinosaur species called Tyrannosaurus. Some Tyrannosaurus have been found all over the world, like Central and East Asia, but the majority of T-Rexes come from North America, primarily Canada and United States, in places like Montana, Texas, Utah, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Trackways where a fossil footprints in mud and sand are rare to come by for T-Rex. There is one in New Mexico that is located in a secret location that nobody is allowed to know about. But just recently, there has been a discovery in Wapiti Formation in northeastern British Columbia. These trackways occur in the Upper Cretaceous. Three trackways occur on a bedding plain exposure along with the individual prints of large Hadrosaurus and smaller theropods. The track layer is composed of fine-grained sandstone with visible carbonized plant fragments. It is likely that the high clay continent allowed the footprint to form, and skin impressions were even found in the Hadrosaur footprints. Cool. So I wonder, was T-Rex chasing lunch? What do you think, detectives? Can you dig it? To hunt for dinosaurs, you have to first pick a dinosaur you want to find and then look at a geological map to find rocks from when that dino lived. Then go where the rocks are worn out from wind and rain. Sometimes paleontologists use jackhammers to remove tons of rocks and sandstone to get to where the dinosaur is, and sometimes even use dynamite, like with Barnum Brown when he found T-Rex. That's pretty cool. Askosaurus Rex, today I have a question from one of my listeners. His name is Bradley. Hi, Bradley. He writes, "Dear little Miss Dinosaur, did the T-Rex travel in packs?" Good question, Bradley. It was once thought that T-Rex lived alone, but evidence from the Gobi Desert in Mongolia suggests that T-Rex may have lived in packs. Paleontologist Philip Curry found skeletons of T-Rex's cousins, the Tarbosaurus, laying side by side in the same rock layers, which means that they died together. Thanks for writing in. If you have a question, please send me an email and I'll try to answer it on the show. Well, listeners, we've learned lots of cool stuff about the mighty T-Rex. Like, he was a predator and scavenger who lived in the late Cretaceous period. His name means Tyrant Lizard King. His head is as big as your mom, and that he has been found all over the world. Please come back again and we will learn more awesome stuff about dinosaurs. I can't wait until our next adventure. I'm Annie Dubois, Little Miss Dinosaur. Thanks for tuning into Dinosaur Detectives.
Sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
At 13, you are just starting to become a teenager and are ready to move on to the next phase of your years. The squeals and screams are replaced by slightly less squeals and screams, and you're expected to act a little more grown up. Tune in to Life at 13 for the answers and support you need to get through this time in your life. Your hosts have some amazing life experiences, and because of this, they have the know-how to get you through ready for what's next. Life at 13, Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Kids channel.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts?
If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune into Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, Real Talk Radio.
You're exploring the world with Dinosaur Detectives and your host, Anna. Keep it here to learn some more great facts. Let's get back to the show.
It's time to uncover and discover. Let's crack open the fossil files and see which dinosaur we're going to learn about today. Oh boy! We're going to learn about the massive Triceratops. How cool! Welcome, I'm Andy Baugh, Little Miss Dinosaur, and you're listening to Dinosaur Detectives. Let's open up the Mesozoic map and see where we're going today. The Late Cretaceous period. I love that period. The Late Cretaceous period was 145 to 65 million years ago. The Cretaceous period gave rise to many new species of dinosaurs who lived in many different continents. These continents were broken up during this time, and Earth started to resemble what it looks like today. Did you know, Dino? In 1888, John Bell Hatcher found the first Triceratops skull in Denver, Colorado. Paleontologist O.C. Marsh named Triceratops in 1889. At first, it was mistakenly identified as an extinct species of buffalo. Since then, about 50 Triceratops skulls and some partial skeletons have been found, mostly in western Canada and western United States. Okay, dinosaur detectives, let's examine this dinosaur's creature features. Triceratops was built like a giant rhinoceros. It walked on four sturdy legs and had a chunky body and short tail. It was 30 feet long and 10 feet tall and weighed as much as a 10-ton truck. Triceratops had three horns on its face along with a large bony plate coming from the back of its skull called a frill. One short horn above its mouth and two longer horns over 3 feet long above its eyes. It had a large skull up to 10 feet long. Wow! One of the largest skulls of any land animal ever discovered. Its head was nearly one-third as long as its body. It had eyes on the side of its skull to watch out for predators like T-Rex. It had a parrot-like beak and powerful jaws with many cheek teeth, anywhere between 400 and 800 teeth. Wow! But only a small percentage of these were in use at any one time, as they were constantly replaced throughout its lifetime. The skin of Triceratops was believed to be covered in bristle-like formations, which is unique and not seen in other dinosaurs. This tells us that Triceratops may at one point have had feathers, which would have helped regulate body temperature. Triceratops' skulls were covered in keratin, the same material from which our fingernails are made. Keratin is known to be colorful in many living birds. Could Triceratops have been colorful too? So what's in a name? Triceratops is part of the Ceratopsian dinosaurs. Ceratopsian means horned face. The name Triceratops means three-horned face. Family dynamics. Scientists uncovered a nest from Protoceratops, a close relative of Triceratops. The nest was round in shape, measured up to 2.5 feet around, and contained 15 baby dinosaurs. A Triceratops nest might have been quite similar. Fossils suggest that juvenile Triceratops hid together in groups for protection. A discovery of juvenile Triceratops gathered together is not very unusual among dinosaurs as a group. Juveniles of many dinosaur species herded together, probably for protection. Did you know, Dino? Some paleontologists believe that at each stage of life, Triceratops developed unique looks of its own. Babies have little stubby horns just starting to grow. Juvenile horns start growing, curving back, and triangular-shaped bones start appearing on the frill. Large juvenile Triceratops still has its two characteristic curved backwards horns, the triangular bones on the frill, but the subadult shows the horns started to change and grow curving forward. The adult skull of Triceratops shows the horns have grown all the way forward, and triangular bones flatten almost entirely and are not even visible. Can you believe it? I think that is amazing. Some paleontologists even go as far to suggest that Torosaurus is the last adult stage of the Triceratops. This is highly debated. So why did Triceratops' features change so dramatically over time? Especially its horns. What were they for? For years, scientists believed it was to fight off predators such as T-Rex. Paleontologists Jack Horner and Mark Goodwin aren't sure about this. Young animals needed protection the most. The horns that curve backwards are useless for defense. Some paleontologists believe that male Triceratops jousted with their horns for mating purposes by impressing females or creating dominance among other males. But this is still questioned as well. Since both males and females had horns,
The question still remains a mystery. Maybe someday I'll figure it all out.
Dinosaurs roaming the earth!
While no complete skeleton of Triceratops has been unearthed, partial skeletons have been found in Montana, South Dakota, Colorado, Wyoming, as well as Alberta, Canada. Back in the Cretaceous period, Triceratops was confined only to North America because the continent had already split from Europe and along with South America and had begun to drift across the ocean.
In 1997, a baby Triceratops skull, along with a few of its other bones, were discovered in the Montana portion of the Hell Creek Formation by amateur fossil hunter Harley Garbani. From 2000 to 2010 alone, more than 40 complete or partial skulls were discovered in the Hell Creek Formation, an area covering the eastern badlands of Montana, southwestern South Dakota, and southwestern North Dakota. When I grow up, I want to live in Montana, because if you want to find very amazing dinosaurs, then that's the place to be. Plus, Jack Horner lives there with his amazing museum of the Rockies.
Famous fossils. Did you know, Dino, that some people collect dinosaur bones? Some even pay lots of money for them at auctions around the world. In 2008, a Triceratops, who was later named Cliff, was purchased from Christie's Auction House for $1 million. Wowzers! Cliff is a 65-million-year-old fossil discovered in Dakota Badlands in 2004. Named for the grandfather of its anonymous donor. Once purchased, the fossil was given to the Museum of Science in Boston. Cliff is one of the only four nearly complete Triceratops on public display anywhere in the world. At the time of its discovery, the 23-foot-long specimen was missing some feet, leg, rib, and vertebrae. Model makers then cast replacement bones, so museum visitors can see the Triceratops skeleton as it would have looked when the living creature roamed through the Midwest during the late Cretaceous period. The almost complete condition of this Triceratops skeleton raises a question of, how was this Triceratops preserved so well? Some scientists believed the dirt turned into natural cement from the conditions around it, like water and plants.
Learning about the massive Triceratops is awesome. I wish it were alive today so I could see it in all its glory. Well, Dino fans, it's time for us to take a break, but make sure to come back so we can continue learning about the Cretaceous dinosaur, the Triceratops. I'm Little Miss Dinosaur Anna DuBois, and you're listening to Dinosaur Detectives, produced by Kidstar Radio for Voice America Kids.
Tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the tech team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're exploring the world with Dinosaur Detectives and your host, Anna. Keep it here to learn some more great facts. Let's get back to the show.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Dinosaur Detectives on Voice America Kids. I'm your host, Little Miss Dinosaur, and it's Bob. When we left for the break, we were talking about the Master Triceratops and how some people collect dinosaur bones and even pay millions of dollars for them. I wish I had $1 million to buy one. Okay, Dinosaur Detectives, time to learn more fun stuff in our paleontologist profile. Jack Horner, my favorite paleontologist from Montana's Museum of the Rockies, had studied Triceratops for many years and focused on its ever-changing skulls for over 10 years. The thing that makes Jack unique is that he cuts open his bones. Yup, cuts them in half to see the tissue and growth rings. He is also known to cut open the dinosaur eggs he has found too. When Jack cut open the many different skulls he had from the families of Triceratopsians, he discovered that the tissue in the small skull was very porous and had big holes. When he cut open the medium-sized skull, he noticed that the holes were much smaller, and when he cut open the larger skull, he noticed it looked like a sponge with very small holes. Young babies all have big holes in their tissue, and the older the adult, the less the holes there are. So what does all of this mean? It's truly the best way for him to discover the ages of Triceratops. This is when they figured out that the skulls were not those of different dinosaurs, but really of the same family. Cool! The ever-changing skull was an indicator that Triceratops was getting older, so its parents would know it didn't need as much care anymore. Jack talks about the work of Dr. Peter Dodson, who discovered that dinosaurs grew like birds, which is different than the way reptiles grew. Dr. Dodson looked at the cassowary bird, whose craft on top of its head actually didn't grow bigger until it was about 80% adult size. Jack says this is similar to Triceratops. That's pretty neat. Dino-mite, dino-fights. It is no secret that when most people think about dinosaur fights, they think about the mighty Tyrannosaurus Rex raging against the massive Triceratops. We know for a fact that this is true. Evidence shows us that first Triceratops lived in the same forests, food plains, and riverbeds as T-Rex. Second, paleontologists have found coprolites containing parts of Triceratops bones. Coprolites, for those of you who don't know, is fossilized dino poop! And third, a team of scientists led by paleontologist Denver Fowler from the Museum of the Rockies, Jack Horner's Museum, examined 18 Triceratops fossils specimens, mostly skulls from Montana's Hell Creek Formation. All of the fossil bones had evidence of Tyrannosaurus tooth marks. Cool! Fowler's team found extensive puncture and pull marks on the frills of many specimens, as this bony arm around the neck of the Triceratops would not have been a good source of meat. The marking suggests that Tyrannosaurus was gripping the frill in its mouth to rip off the Triceratops' head to get the nutrient-rich neck muscles. Yuck! That sounds so gross! Today's fossil funnies. What do you get if you cross a Triceratops with a kangaroo? A Triceratops! Which dinosaurs make the best police? Triceratops! Ha! Those crack me up!
Did you know, Dino? Triceratops is the state dinosaur of South Dakota. Not all states have an official state dinosaur, but 13 of them do.
Wow, that's really cool.
Can you dig it? Paleontologists digging in northeastern Wyoming have uncovered fossilized remains of three Triceratops, possibly the most complete specimens of the dinosaurs yet found.
I love that!
The Triceratops bones were discovered by a rancher who owns the land in Newcastle, Wyoming, just west of Mount Rushmore. This grassland today would have looked more like a subtropical flatland when the dinosaurs called it home during the Cretaceous period. So far, the Big Dig has uncovered bones from three Triceratops, two adults and a juvenile about half their size. The largest of the three skeletons is also the most complete. In fact, it is a contender for the most complete Triceratops skeleton ever found. Only three other fossil specimens are more than 50% intact, like Cliff, who we talked about earlier. The main competition, with 75% of its skeleton, is on display at the Houston Museum of Natural Science. That's where Bob Bakker, one of my favorite paleontologists, is the curator. The curator is the head person of a museum of the dinosaurs. Paleontologists think the three dinosaurs may have been a family, which could offer new insights into Triceratops' behavior and development. But there isn't a happy ending to their story. Some of the largest dinosaurs' bones appear to have been bitten through, and researchers from the Black Hill Institute of Geological Research are the pointing fingers of the mighty Tyrannosaurus Rex we talked about last time. Yikes! Researchers think the area the Triceratops called home also served as a T-Rex feeding ground, and that these newfound fossils may help them find out more about the interactions between these two well-known but little-understood species of dinosaurs. Boy, I wish I could be up there to help with the dig. Askosaurus Rex. Today I have a question from one of my listeners. Her name is Erin. Hi, Erin. She writes, "Dear Little Miss Dinosaur, what did Triceratops eat?" Good question, Erin. Triceratops were herbivores, which means that it ate plants and bushes that were close to the ground. We know this because it had flat teeth that were good for chopping up vegetation, and its head was massive and would have been difficult to lift high in the air. Triceratops' teeth act like scissors, and it would have been able to shred even very tough leaves and woody branches and roots. Animals that eat woody foods have to be big. They need to process the food very slowly and have a long digestive tract. An elephant can digest a tree branch, but a human cannot. Triceratops was a very big animal, so it could have eaten a food that took a long time to digest. It is thought that Triceratops had a gut full of fermenting bacteria for digesting tough plant material, just like cows do today. Thanks for writing in. If you have a question, please send it to me in an email or post it to my Dinosaur Detectives Facebook page, and I'll try to answer it on the show. Well, listeners, we've learned lots of cool stuff about the Triceratops. It was a plant eater of the late Cretaceous period. His name means three-horned face. He weighs as much as a 10-ton truck. He has up to 800 teeth, and some people will pay up to $1 million for its fossils. T-Rex did eat the Triceratops. The proof is in the poop. And we learned the baby Triceratops were cute and cuddly, looking with big eyes and little stubby horns. We learned the Triceratops skull changed greatly in size, shape, and features as it grew from a a baby to juvenile to adult. And we even learned that Torosaurus may or may not be the oldest adult of the Triceratops family. What do you think? Next time, we will learn about one of the very first dinosaurs of the Triassic period, the E-Raptor. I can hardly wait. Please come back again and we will learn more awesome stuff about dinosaurs. I am so excited for our next adventure. I'm Annie DuBois, Little Miss Dinosaur, and thanks for tuning into Dinosaur Detectives, produced by KidStar Radio for the Voice America Kids Network.
Thank you for joining us for Dinosaur Detectives. Please join your host, Anna DuBois, again next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Don't be afraid to learn something every day.
From Bookworm, and now from the KidStar Album of the Month. Here's Mr. Saxophone, Dave Farther, with Mothership.
You and I are on a voyage. Can't you feel the planet move beneath your feet? The ship we're on weighed anchor long ago. It's a few and I to keep the sailing sweet. Saw a red sunrise this morning. The view from in the crow's nest wasn't good. Time for sailors to take warning. The storm on the horizon says we should. Receiving a call from the mothership. Dip, 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 da, 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 did it, dip. Sending a signal, it's decoded. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Three dots and dashes can save our ship. Dip, 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 da, 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 did it, dip. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. On our journey through the Milky Way, we weather storms of carelessness and greed. Keep your sea legs and your bearings, or we'll capsize on this black and starry sea. With the North Star as our compass, sailing round the warm and shiny sun. We can't afford to go overboard. It's our vessel and our lifeboat all in one. Receiving a call from the mothership. Dip, 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 da, 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 did it, dip. She's sending a signal, it's decoded. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Three dots and dashes can save our ship. Dip, 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 da, 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 did it, dip. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Signal is decoded. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Three dots and dashes can save our ship. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Dip, 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 da, da.
Dave Farber, Mr. Saxophone from the KidStar Album of the Month. Check it out on our website, kidstar.org.